The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hello, New York Giants fans, and welcome to a new edition of the Valentine's Views podcast here on Big Blue View Radio, part of your SB Nation family of podcasts. Please like, share, and subscribe if you're watching us on YouTube, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts across the Big Blue View Radio network. All right, this Friday edition of the Valentine's Views podcast is going to be a special NFL draft mailbag edition. We get so many questions into the weekly Big Blue View mailbag that there are simply weeks that I just can't get to all of them. In fact, lately that is actually most weeks. And I thank you guys for supporting the mailbag the way that you guys do, and for sending so many good questions to the mailbag. If you're not sure how to get us a question, please email it to bigblueview@gmail.com. You could also drop it on the platform formerly known as Twitter at Big Blue View, but the better way is to email it to bigblueview@gmail.com, and I'll get to those either here on the podcast or on our weekly Saturday mailbag on the website. I thought what we would do today with free agency, the main part of free agency having concluded, and with the NFL draft coming up, so many questions in the mailbag, I thought that what I would do is pull some of the draft-related questions out today and do a draft mailbag in reference to your New York Giants. So let's get to some of those questions right now. All right. Jack McMullen sent in a question, and Jack wants to know, he said, the Giants have so many draft options, it's mind-boggling. I'm wondering which option you might feel the best about. For me, the best scenario for Joe Shane and Brian Daboll to see 2025 seems to be to get a young quarterback this year. The problem would be how they manage it. If it involves moving up, then the draft basically becomes a one impact player acquisition draft. So that situation might not work for the Giants, according to Jack. And again, he says, I believe the Giants need to find a new young quarterback now. Just don't know what is the best option for long-term success. Jack, that really is the question facing this franchise right now. Do they take the long-term view? Do they believe that J.J. McCarthy, if he's the quarterback available to them at six, is a guy who is a 10-year starter, is a guy who can win a Super Bowl, is a guy that can lead the Giants franchise for the next decade? Do they think that guy is Drake May of North Carolina? Do they think that, you know, whoever they believe it is, May, Jaden Daniels, J.J. McCarthy, if they think it's one of those guys, do they have the assets to move up and make sure they get that guy, which I don't know is going to be possible because I know the Bears aren't moving out of that pick. I'm pretty sure the Commanders are not going to move. And the closer and closer we get to the draft, I tend to doubt that the Patriots will move out of the third pick. So I think quarterbacks are going to go 1, 2, 3, which means if you're going to move up, it's either 4 to Arizona, where GM Monty Austenfort says that the Cardinals are open for business, or 5 to the Chargers. And you know, this is the franchise altering question facing the Giants is, do they think, you know, JJ McCarthy, if he's the guy that's available and he's the likely one to be available, do they think he's a guy worth going to get? I don't know the answer to that right now. I always say, look, if you love the guy, if you think he's a franchise quarterback who can lead you for the next decade, if you're not sure you have one of those, and the Giants can't be sure they have one. They can say that they support Daniel Jones. They can say Jones will be the starter. But we know the situation with Jones. Only one more year of guaranteed money, injury history, didn't play well in 2023. If the Giants can get a guy in this draft that they think can be better than Daniel Jones, that they think can take them farther than Daniel Jones, then I have no problem if they do that. For me, the safer bet, to be honest with you, is to take wide receiver Roma Dunze of Washington or Malik Nabers of LSU. And what I mean by safer bet is, if you played the odds, there's probably a better chance that either of those two wide receivers becomes a star than the quarterback becomes a star. Because, I mean, I've studied quarterback drafts for the last 15 to 20 years, and the hit rate on these quarterbacks in the first round is only 30 to 40%. You have to have one, but the NFL is terrible at analyzing these guys. The NFL seems to be terrible at matching quarterbacks with teams and coaching staffs and getting these guys into the right situations where they can succeed. So your chances of getting the right guy if you go quarterback are 50-50 at best. So we'll see what the Giants do. Jack, the other part of your question, the other part of your statement was about Joe Shane and Brian Daboll and whether they would see 2025. The farther away we've gotten from the 2023 season and the farther away we've gotten from the whole Daboll-Martindale fiasco and all of that, the more I've thought about this, and there's pressure on Brian Daboll in 2023, but I tend to think that unless the wheels come completely off, unless the Giants go 2-15, unless the locker room implodes, unless this season goes, you know, sideways in a really, really bad way, I don't believe that Brian Daboll and Joe Shane will be in danger of losing their jobs, you know, at the end of the 2024 season. We'll see how it plays out, but that is how I feel at the current time. But you know, but again, anything can happen, and we'll see. All right, let's move on to another question. Brennan Lyons asks a somewhat similar question. Says, we obviously need to draft a quarterback and a wide receiver. I'm sure almost everyone agrees with that. My question is, which combination would you prefer? JJ McCarthy and Troy Franklin or Xavier Leggett or Romo Dunze or Malik Nabers and Bo Nix or Michael Penix. Brennan adds, we can probably get Leggett in round 3 or Rook Ohorohoro, who's a defensive tackle, in round 2. Says he'd love to put Ohorohoro next to Dexter Lawrence for the next few years. Brennan, the first thing is, I think it's dangerous to assume that we know who the Giants could get in round 2. There's a lot of chatter right now. There's a lot of speculation that Xavier Leggett, the big, strong wide receiver out of South Carolina, could go at the tail end of the first round. So to sit there and think, oh, we know we can get that guy in round 3. You don't know. Nobody knows. To sit there and think you know, we want to get a quarterback, you know, but we'll take the wide receiver. And we know we can get Bo Nix or Michael Penix at 47. We don't know that. I saw a mock draft the other day where Bo Nix went number 12 to the Denver Broncos. And there's a strong argument that that could be reality. Sean Payton, from what I read and from what I understand, Sean Payton sees a lot of Drew Brees in Bo Nix. And we know how much success Payton had with Drew Brees. He sees a lot of similarities. Michael Penix as QB6, for all we know, there's going to be somebody who really likes Michael Penix and really wants that fifth-year option that you get when you draft a guy in the first round, who might be willing to trade up for Penix and go get him in the first round, or one of those teams that's sitting down there anyway that might take him. So there's no guarantee of what you're going to be able to get in round two or round three or any of that. So I just think trying to put names to what you can do at 47 or 70 or 107 where the Giants pick, that's a dangerous exercise to assume that you can get a certain player at a certain point in the draft beyond the first few selections. As for which scenario I prefer, again, for me, it comes down to, you know, to how badly do you want that quarterback? If you really want that quarterback, go ahead and get him. For me, I think for me today, I like J.J. McCarthy. I think that some of the hate that J.J. McCarthy gets in the draft community is misunderstanding what J.J. McCarthy is and what J.J. McCarthy can be. He's a 21-year-old kid with a lot of leadership traits. But for me, I think that what I would like to do is see the Giants take the wide receiver. I'm a big fan of Romo Dunze. I'll take Malik Nabers. Doesn't, you know, either way, whatever the Giants prefer, if they have a choice between both guys. Honestly, don't think there's a wrong answer. I think if I had to do it today, I might take Romo Dunze. But ask me tomorrow and I might give you a different answer on that one.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prop G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from blue flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday, and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
All right, let's move to another question. Daryl Linder says, I disagree with the position that the Giants need to look for a quarterback at six. I heard Phil Sims recently say that if you're trading up for a quarterback, make it Caleb Williams or don't trade up at all. And also Sims saying that there are many day three quarterbacks in round five to be interested in. I've always been on that train since Joe Shane said Daniel Jones is the starting quarterback. Get someone to help him at six and make Daboll earn his money developing a quarterback you get on day two or day three. Daryl, the idea, we've talked about the idea of trading up. Look, if they love Drake May, if Joe Shane and Brian Daboll are sold on Drake May and want to stake their legacies, want to stake their employment, want to stake the future of the franchise on Jake May, on Drake May or JJ McCarthy. If they're willing to go all in, if they think one of those guys can take them farther than Daniel Jones can, then you make that move and you don't look back. Whatever it costs you, whatever you have to fill in afterwards, you do that. But you don't look back if you think that's your guy. Look, years ago when the Giants selected Daniel Jones, when Dave Gettleman made that move at number six, he was heavily, heavily criticized for that move. And look, at this point in time, you would say that move didn't work out. All right, 5 years, we're still questioning what Jones is. He's got an injury history. He's only had one season that you would consider to be a really, really good season. But I have always defended Gettleman's decision to make that choice. He was, in his words, in full bloom love with Daniel Jones. He thought Daniel Jones could be the guy to replace Eli Manning. He thought Daniel Jones could be the guy to take the Giants to play to the playoffs, to the Super Bowl. He thought he could be the quarterback for a decade or more. And when you believe that in your heart, when you believe that, when you're willing to stake your legacy and your future and the franchise's future on that, then you do it and you don't look back. It hasn't worked out. You know, Gettleman is no longer the GM. But I absolutely think that if Gettleman had that belief, then it was absolutely the right thing for him to do to make that move. When it comes to trading up from six, we've talked about it a little bit already, but I tend to doubt that the Giants will do that. I tend to think that they look at it and they think, we have a lot of holes. We have a lot of needs. We still need the wide receiver. We potentially need a quarterback of the future. We need help at cornerback. We need help at safety. We could use more offensive line help, especially on the interior. It would be great to get a guy who could compete to be a starting left or right guard. At some point in the draft, it might be nice to get a running back or a tight end. So the Giants have a lot of things they would like to do to make the 2024 season better than the 2023 season. I think it's going to be very, very difficult for the Giants to stomach making that trade up simply because it would really handicap their ability to draft players that could help them in the 2024 season. So we'll see what they do. As far as drafting a quarterback on day two or day three, you know, I've always supported that idea. I have no problem with that if they don't get the quarterback at six. But the reality of it is, not every one of those guys is Brock Purdy. Not every one of those guys is Tom Brady. Not every one of those mid to late round picks winds up having a career as good as the one that Russell Wilson has had. The NFL has a very difficult time evaluating quarterbacks and evaluating sort of, you know, and figuring out which quarterbacks are going to succeed, which quarterbacks are going to transition from college and be really good players. And to me, the chances that you're going to hit on one of those guys, the chances decrease the farther you get into the draft simply because the traits, the caliber of athlete that these guys are, that decreases. So, and the opportunities that those guys are going to get oftentimes decreases. So I think that if you really want that quarterback of the future and he's there for you at six, then you make that move. But if the Giants don't get that guy at six and they want to take a shot later in the draft on a Spencer Rattler or a Michael Pratt of Tulane or a Joe Milton of Tennessee, then that's fine. But the odds that they'll be successful in developing that quarterback into a top-tier guy aren't as good as they would be if they take a guy at six. All right, let's get to a question from James Stoll. James asks, says, I have a quarterback draft question or two or three. First, what do you attribute the JJ McCarthy hype to? James says, from where I sit, he did the least of all the top prospects in his college career, averaging only 18 throws per game. He doesn't appear to be overly gifted athletically compared to Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, or Drake May. And he played in the most quarterback-friendly environment in Michigan, where he was asked to do the least. I don't get what has happened that justifies the sudden interest in him as a top 10 pick. Second, why does the league remain so down on Spencer Rattler? He finished his career nicely with South Carolina, has tremendous arm talent, and was MVP of the Senior Bowl. Still, he's projected as a third-round pick at best. What does McCarthy supposedly have that Rattler doesn't have? Finally, what's your take on Bo Nix and or Michael Penix? Do either seem to fit what Brian Daboll wants to do offensively? All right, James, let's have the JJ McCarthy discussion. And here's what it comes to, bluntly, simply, really, first and foremost. JJ McCarthy is a winner. What do we ultimately want to judge quarterbacks on? You talk about Dan Marino. The first thing everybody says is they don't point to all of his great numbers and all of that. The first thing everybody says is, oh, Marino didn't win a Super Bowl. You talk about Eli Manning. Eli Manning's got some nice passing statistics. But nobody really cares when it comes to the Eli Manning Hall of Fame argument. Those statistics won't get Eli Manning into the Hall of Fame. What will get Eli Manning into the Hall of Fame, what he'll be remembered for, are those two Super Bowls, are shooting down Tom Brady and the Patriots twice, helping the Giants beat a 17-0 Patriots team, leading the Giants to those two Super Bowls. Those are the things he'll be remembered for. We first and foremost judge quarterbacks by whether or not they win. Josh Allen is a tremendous, tremendous quarterback. But everybody says, oh, but he hasn't won a Super Bowl yet. You know, same with a guy like Joe Burrow. Hasn't won a Super Bowl yet. So, you know, can't be, you know, an all-timer without that Super Bowl. JJ McCarthy is a winner. JJ McCarthy went 27-1 and won a national title during his time as the starting quarterback at Michigan. In high school, when he went to Nazareth High School, he went 26-2 in 2 years and helped his team win a state title. When he went to IMG Academy for a year, his team went 8-0 and was the consensus national champion. JJ McCarthy is a winner. And I think you have to get beyond the tape. You have to get beyond the highlights that you see at YouTube. You have to get beyond the number of times that he threw at Michigan and the fact that Michigan didn't ask him to throw 35 times a game. They didn't ask him to carry the team. JJ McCarthy understands winning. He's played consistently. Every year that he plays, he's playing in big games. He's playing in pressure games. He's always playing in games where there's something on the line. And I think that for NFL teams, that is huge. That's a big factor. And yeah, the other thing, as I've said in other formats and I've written in places, it's not just about the YouTube clips. It's not just about what we see when you watch JJ McCarthy highlights. This is a 21-year-old kid, first and foremost, who has a lot of growth and a lot of development in front of him. He's not a 24-year-old kid who's much closer to being a finished product as a player. He has a lot of room for growth, a lot of room for development, a lot of room to take coaching. What we don't know about McCarthy is how he interviews with teams. He had dinner with the Giants, you know, a week or so ago. We don't know how he interviews. We don't know what his former coaches. We know that Jim Harbaugh thinks the world of JJ McCarthy. We don't know what else is being said. We don't know what other coaches and other evaluators and other people that teams like the Giants and all the NFL teams, you know, talk to behind the scenes. We don't know what's being said, but all of that, what's being said behind the scenes, the research that's being done into the personalities of these players, all of that behind the scenes information that we never learn about, all of that factors in. And my guess is that JJ McCarthy impresses in those interview situations. My guess is that everybody has terrific things to say about McCarthy, and those things matter to the NFL. They matter when you're going to put a franchise in a young man's hands, when you're going to make that person the representative, the primary representative, the face of your franchise as a player. All of those things matter. And of course, the talent and the traits matter. And I understand, listen, I'm not Mel Kiper. I'm not Dane Brugler. I'm not a trained NFL scout, NFL talent evaluator, but I do watch enough that I know what I like and I understand a good bit of what I see. And when I watch JJ McCarthy, I understand the volume argument. I understand the idea that McCarthy was never the guy that, you know, Michigan didn't go into games saying, okay, JJ McCarthy has to win this game for us. You know, from the first snap to the last snap, he needs to be the best player. That was a situation that Caleb Williams was in a lot of times. That was a situation that Drake May faced all the time. Shoot. At Duke, that's a situation that Daniel Jones was in all the time. He had to be the best player. McCarthy hasn't been in that situation in Michigan. He's been in a situation, or he's been in situations where he's had to make big throws at big times. He's had to make impact plays that mattered in important games, but he hasn't had to be the guy, you know, from snap one to the time that the clock read double zero at the end of a game. I get all of that. But when you watch McCarthy, you see all of the traits that NFL teams want. You see enough arm strength. For me, you see terrific accuracy. And by that, I don't mean, I'm not talking about completion percentage. I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about is you watch how many times he hits receivers perfectly in stride, gives them opportunities for yards after catch. How many times he throws into tight windows and makes the play, puts the ball on target, makes difficult throws into small windows, which is what he's going to have to do in the NFL. NFL open and college open are two different things. You see McCarthy make throws into NFL windows. McCarthy, you see toughness. You see mobility with McCarthy. You see the ability to run, both in designed runs. Now, he's not Jaden Daniels, but you see the ability to make plays as a runner, both on, you know, both on designed runs and on scramble situations. You see athleticism in the run game. There's, I forget who the, which game it was when he made a tremendous play on a trick play where the ball was thrown back to him and it was thrown over his head and he had to make a one-handed catch going to his left and threw the ball off balance, you know, 25 or 30 yards down the field for a completion. The NFL sees those things. They see the athleticism. So they see upside. They see potential. They see leadership. They see a lot of things from McCarthy. Now, can all of those things, will all of those things translate? Will he develop? We don't know. Nobody knows. Nobody knows. You know, everybody thinks, everybody says, oh, Caleb Williams is a generational talent. We don't know what's going to happen with Caleb Williams. A few years ago, everybody thought that Trevor Lawrence was the next Peyton Manning, that he was the next, you know, great NFL quarterback, that he was going to play like a Hall of Famer the minute that he walked into the league. And someday he might. But, you know, 3-4 years in, that hasn't happened yet. So let's not throw around, you know, the generational terms with these guys. And we don't know what's going to happen. But there's a lot to like there in terms of traits, in terms of personality, just in terms of the fact that he's won at every level. In terms of Spencer Rattler, I think Spencer Rattler is a guy who the league probably likes more than they did a year ago. I think just because he might go in the third round or late in the second round doesn't mean the league doesn't like him. I think that what McCarthy has is that winning resume. What McCarthy has, you know, is the games that he's played in, the meaningful games, the title games that he's played in over the years that make him a guy that NFL teams look at and think, you know, that guy's always been a winner. He can be a winner for us too. I'm not sure how old Rattler is either, but for me, the biggest difference is also, I think McCarthy, if you just look physically, I think McCarthy's a little bit bigger than Spencer Rattler. There's a lot of arm talent there with Rattler, obviously, a lot of inconsistency throughout his career as well. A lot of things that NFL teams might want to work with. Rattler might wind up with the Giants. You never know. We'll see. But for me, when I look at the two guys, it's apparent to me, you know, that McCarthy, you know, should be above a guy like Spencer Rattler on the pecking order. And finally, James wanted to know my take on Bo Nix and or Michael Penix. Look, I like Bo Nix. I think Bo Nix can be a good NFL quarterback. My question with Bo Nix is, what's the ceiling? My question is, can he be more than an average NFL player? Again, we don't know. But when I look at Nix, I'm not sure that he has the traits and the physical ability of some of these guys, of Drake May, of Jaden Daniels, maybe of J.J. McCarthy. I'm not sure that he has the upside that those guys do. As for Michael Penix, you know, I see his ability to spin the ball. I see his ability to throw it. But I have questions about his mobility, about the injury history. Look, what it comes down to for me with Michael Penix is I don't think he's a fit for the New York Giants offense. I think Brian Daboll and Mike Kafka want to use the quarterback in the designed quarterback run game. They did that in Buffalo. Daboll did that in Buffalo with Josh Allen. Kafka has seen, although they don't do it a lot in Kansas City, they do it some with Patrick Mahomes. It's a big part of the NFL game now. Michael Penix doesn't really give you that. And I think to me, that makes it more difficult for him to fit into what the Giants would really like to do. And plus, the other reality is this. It's very, very difficult for me when you're looking at replacing Daniel Jones or adding someone who could be the long-term successor to Daniel Jones. It's very difficult for me when I look at Jones and I say one of the reasons we have to draft over him or draft someone who could potentially replace him, one of those reasons is his injury history. It's very, very difficult for me to draft a Michael Penix who has a worse injury history than Daniel Jones when his health, you know, it is one of the reasons why you're considering replacing Jones. I mean, Penix is a guy who's had two torn ACLs. He's had dislocations of both shoulders, his throwing and his non-throwing shoulder. He's had four seasons end because of injury. And I know the last 2 years, you know, he was healthy and he'd like everybody to forget about that, but I can't. Not when one of the reasons for moving on from Daniel Jones is injury history. That simply makes it very, very difficult for me to choose Michael Penix as the potential successor to Daniel Jones. All right, Giants fans. I think that's enough for today. Please stop by Big Blue View on Saturday morning for the written mailbag. We'll include the YouTube version of this mailbag as well inside of that mailbag. So hopefully you guys enjoy both pieces of the mailbag. And thank you, as always, for listening. Please stay safe out there. Take care of each other, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.